Number one desirable. I do what I want when I want and how I want it. Leave you with the one in the air. Hey guys, welcome back to the And That's the Tea podcast. It has been quite some time since I've actually sat down to chat with you guys, so I wanted to make this episode a quick but not really quick catch up and where I've been and what I've been doing. A lot of changes have taken place in the span of the 2 months that I took off of podcasting. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to go in and dive right in to chatting about what's up. So a couple of housekeeping things. I just wanted to say thank you so much for everyone who has submitted a review or messaged me, whether it be on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, about how much they love the podcast or how much they hate it. I always appreciate a good hater. So if you love this podcast, definitely leave me a review or let me know on Instagram. I want to send a piece of my influencer merchandise to a random person who leaves a review. So please do that. And yeah, let's get going with the rest of this show. So the last time I recorded was November 21st, I think, if I'm not mistaken, or the last time I actually put out a podcast. I could be totally wrong, so don't go back and look and check that because then I'll be really embarrassed. But basically, I guess I'll start around Thanksgiving. So around Thanksgiving, I actually adopted my sweet puppy, Atlas. He is not a rescue dog. I've had some people ask me if he's a rescue. No, he's not. He was just in a situation where his owner, who was also super sweet, she was just starting a master's program and just didn't have the time. And so I think it's really awesome that she was able to recognize that. And I actually found Atlas on Craigslist, and I messaged the girl and we met up, and he was just an absolute perfect fit for us. And so I took him home, and currently he is sitting at my feet under my desk, and he probably knows I'm talking about him. But he's a sweet boy, and he is actually registered as an emotional support animal. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but basically it's not the same thing as a service dog, whereas a service dog is there to provide service to you in the event that you have a seizure or pass out or you need to take your medication and they remind you. It's not, he's not that. He's an emotional support animal. So I do actually have reoccurring panic attacks, which is kind of what this episode is going to be about, is my mental health. And he's there to just give me support, and he calms me down and he kind of grounds me. And he does recognize when I have panic symptoms, and he just kind of sits there and lets me lay on him, and I'll rest on him, and he's just a good boy and very sweet. So he's 3.5 years old, and he has just been an absolute dream. So that was a big change for me. It was a good change, but it was still an adjustment nonetheless. And then around the same time that we got Atlas, the actual day of Thanksgiving, I had my very first ever panic attack. If you don't know, basically a panic attack is just like a sudden onset of a bunch of symptoms at once. And it is often disguised as a heart attack, and you are led to believe that you are literally dying. Like in my head, when this happened, I had never had one before, so I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was having a heart attack. I was in the bathtub shaking, and this is Thanksgiving morning, and I was just, before this, I was sitting on my couch watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is like a tradition for my family, and I was drinking my coffee, and all of a sudden my hands started getting super clammy and just very shaky, and then I started sweating, and so it escalated. And the fact that I was so nervous about this, I was anxious about my anxiety, which is what makes panic attacks worse, especially the first time, because you don't know what's going on. So you don't have the tools and resources that I have now to calm myself down. So I had no clue. So I went and laid in the bathtub. I was just running cold water over my body to just kind of wake up, and it wasn't really working. At first I thought my blood sugar was low, so I ate a few like rice cakes, and that wasn't it. That did not help. And it just escalated, and eventually I lost all control of my motor function, especially in my hands and feet. They were just kind of doing their own thing. I literally could not control what my hands were doing. I couldn't control the shaking that my body was experiencing and the tingles. The tingles were the worst part because it was all over my entire body. I was just on pins and needles. My face was on pins and needles. And I did actually lose control of my bladder because my body, when you're having a panic attack, your body is in such a heightened state of flight or fright or fight or flight. There we go. Sorry, it's been a while since I've been in school. And so your body is in that high sympathetic state where it's ready for action. So when you have a panic attack, your body thinks it's trying to run from a tiger, when in reality, I was literally just sitting in a bathtub. And my body didn't know that. So in your brain, the neural circuitry that prepares your body for a flight or fight response is overstimulated, and you aren't able to turn it off. It's basically just a huge shot of adrenaline, which takes about 3 minutes to peak and come off of. And usually panic attacks only last for about 3 to 10 minutes. But the after effects for that bad of a panic attack, the after effects are just horrendous. I was in the bathtub experiencing this. I was praying to God. I said, God, if this is it, like, please, like, and I said, like, please, like, just kind of be with me through this. Like, I legit thought that this was my death. I thought that's what it was. And that's probably the worst thought in the world. Because I was just praying to God, and, I was also with Andrew trying to call 911, and he was like, you're fine. And I wasn't. And there's no possible way to convince someone that you're not fine when your whole body is just like shaking and they can't see it. They don't know what's going on inside of you, and you're convinced you're dying and this has never happened before. So we called EMS, and they came to my apartment and they checked all my vitals. They checked my blood sugar. Everything was fine other than my CO2 levels were high in my body. So I wasn't breathing out enough. And that's what happens when you have a panic attack. You hyperventilate, you breathe in a lot, but you don't really fully slow your breaths down and breathe out. And so that CO2 buildup becomes very toxic, which also makes the panic attack worse. So eventually, once EMS got there and they said I was fine, that's when I started calming down. It was that moment that I was like, oh, okay, like, they explained to me that you're having a panic attack, and me not having any prior diagnoses of panic or anything like that. It was hard to believe because the experience was so traumatizing that I lived in fear basically for weeks after that. And, the days and the week after that panic attack were the worst. I remember going to Thanksgiving after that, in my pajamas. I wasn't able to eat because, I couldn't breathe when I ate. You know, when you're chewing, you're not really focused on your breathing. And so I barely ate Thanksgiving dinner, and it was just not a good day, and I was exhausted. All I wanted to do was lay in bed. I felt so weak. I literally couldn't do anything. So Thanksgiving 2019 is not one for the books for me, but thankfully Christmas was a lot better. Guys, I don't know what led to this, and usually panic attacks happen out of the blue. Sometimes panic attacks can be a result from good stress, but it is a buildup of stress nonetheless, whether it be moving. I mean, we're getting a dog. Thanksgiving obviously causes some people anxiety about, you know, their eating and stuff. But I felt fine that day about food and everything. I mean, I wasn't really deep into prep at that time. So honestly, it was probably just a buildup of the past weeks of, you know, work stress, gym stress, prep stress, getting a dog, finances, I guess. I mean, not really, but I'm just giving you an example of what can happen. And then all of a sudden, caffeine can be like a trigger for me. Caffeine and driving are triggers. And so when I had caffeine, that triggered it. And it triggered the symptoms of anxiety, which were worsened by my fear of what the hell is going on with my body. So basically after that, I lived in a constant state of panic. Like, I always thought it was going to happen again, and I had to cut out all caffeine for a couple weeks afterwards. And I didn't know really how to fix it because it had never happened before. And so every time I got in my car, every time I drank a cup of coffee, I just felt so scared and so anxious. And it's really just a mentally exhausting thing. And so I sought out a primary care physician, and I was put on Zoloft for 25 milligrams, which is a very low dose, but I think it's just what I needed, because after that, it took about 2 weeks to really start seeing the clouds clear. And that's really the perfect description for it. After you're on, I know for SSRIs, everything's going to be different for everyone. So don't take this for face value. Don't think that this is your experience as well, because some people need different medications. But for me, it took a few weeks, and then Zoloft, coming off on Zoloft, was probably the best decision I ever made for myself. The exact description I would describe is, one day you wake up and things don't seem so bad anymore. Yeah, you worry about things. Like, yeah, I worry about jobs, and yeah, I worry about like preps, but it's not constantly on me. I don't feel so heavy anymore. Like, I'm able to take care of things and address things. It doesn't stop your problems from happening, but it reframes the way you think about them to where you're still able to be present without being so anxious all the time. Sometimes when a lot of things are happening at once, I do feel anxious, but I mean, that's just kind of a normal life. I was taught a lot of tools to cope with it, such as like breathing and just calming myself down and recognizing when it's about to happen, stopping it before it happens. Sometimes when things are really bad, it does still happen, but not to the extent that it happened on Thanksgiving. So it's definitely a work in progress for me, and things are definitely looking up. The more I take responsibility for what I'm doing, the more I take care of my tasks that I need to do. Just the biggest piece of advice I would say for someone dealing with panic attacks is, don't procrastinate, because that makes things worse. If you know you have to do this and this and this, just go fucking do it. Because if you don't, it's just gonna sit on you and it makes you feel so much heavier. And that's just added stress that we don't need. I know there's certain things in your life that you can't control, but if you're someone with panic attacks and anxiety, you need to try and control the things that you can. And you need to learn to let go of the things that you cannot. So that's my biggest piece of advice. And basically figuring all this out took me from November to where I am now. So it was a few months of just trial and error, of a lot of highs and lows, a lot of change. I did move. I did actually change jobs, which I still work from home, but I'm kind of waiting to talk about that later. So if you're listening, you do get the inside scoop that no one else gets. Basically, prep was put on hold for about 8 weeks. I feel like during that time that I was figuring out all of my... Like, during the time that it took me to figure out what was going on, I just wasn't able to really give my all in prep. So I didn't feel like I had a fair shot, and I didn't want that for myself. And so I didn't really stop prep. We just kind of took a diet break as far as, like, my calorie intake. We just kind of brought calories up for the time being until I was ready to really hit the ground running. So that actually proved to be really beneficial for my body, and it was a nice reset. And since then, I've been continually progressing, and my body is responding pretty well for what has been going on. So that being said, I am taking a lot of steps right now to prevent this panic disorder, this anxiety, from keeping me from living my life. And some of those steps do include being on SSRIs, as well as I actually have my first appointment with a psychiatrist at the end of February, here in Arkansas. And she is going to kind of oversee all of my medications and things like that. And just, it was time for me to take that step into general just psychiatry and really talking with someone who can kind of help me figure things out, and just having someone to talk to in general, I think is a really beneficial thing for everyone. I think therapy is awesome. I think even if you don't feel like you have any problems in your life, which I'm sure you do, everybody does, I think therapy is a great outlet for just an unbiased, an objective person who can really look at you, non-judgmental, someone who doesn't know like your past, like someone who's just like looking in your life, like they can have a different view of things that you may not realize, versus someone who's close to you and may have an opinion or may be biased about something. So I think if you're listening and that's something you've been considering, this is your sign to take that jump and seek therapy. It's not impossible. Find providers that are in your network if money is a thing. I know it's literally going to cost me maybe $30 each time to see my psychiatrist. That's definitely something I can do on a monthly basis, or biweekly, or weekly even. So I'm very excited to see the progress that comes from cognitive behavioral therapy, which proves to be one of the most beneficial types of therapy when combined with medication. So that being said, anyways, I just kind of wanted to go over that. And that's just kind of where I'm at right now. I'm working a lot, still working from home, enjoying things very much. I don't really have much more to add to that kind of stuff. That's just kind of where I've been, because I feel like I kind of put off really diving into it. Not that I really owed anyone an explanation, but I did want to kind of explain the things that have been going on. And I do think it's important to keep you guys updated, because there may be someone who's in the same situation as me who doesn't necessarily have the resources that I have, or who maybe isn't okay with talking about it and just needs someone else who they can look up to or they can talk to. That I would always like to offer them. My DMs are always open to anyone who has issues like that or just in general wants to chat. This is going to definitely be a quick little episode. But I do plan on getting back into my podcasts, because I feel like my life has finally settled down a little bit from all of this. And so I appreciate, of course, all the support and all the reviews you guys leave. And that's going to be it for this one. I got tons of soul, I'm a true collectible. Famous or so famous, number one, desirable. I don't want